A night at a trail angel's. Hector and Oracle, an angel who never knew he was a trail angel until I came along and asked if I might rent a room. Hector and I talk about getting up at the crack of dawn to get me back out there on trail, but neither of us make a move, and it's a lazy morning of eating, talking, laughing, and dawdling. Finally, he extricates me from the comfort of his awesome space, and we drive toward the Tiger Mine trailhead just on the other side of town. It's going to be an ordeal to get started, because I'll have a 12-mile dry stretch to a cow pond. I drink glass after glass of water and fill 3 liters to carry. I'm not particularly jazzed about what's to come. More of the same flora as I descend to the Gila River, and hotter days with long, dry stretches. I'm still pretty battered from the string of mountains, but I put on a brave face and plan to take it slow. As we meet the highway, Hector tells me his verdict on Allison is she's fucking crazy. Okay, I laugh with no argument. Then he pulls his car to the shoulder and says he really has a mind to take me further up the trail. He's worried about me. It's not just the lack of water, but it's really, really rough and frankly, not at all lovely. I guess if you like this kind of stuff, he says, you'll like this kind of stuff. Well, I think on it. I mean, I loved my mountains, but the Oracle Ridge was a death march, and I passed the same clumpy brown dried plants over and over. I don't have the luxury of unlimited time, and I'm going to have to skip something anyway. I ask Hector why he wants me to skip where he lives. He says he loves it, just not to walk in it. I really feel like this newly indoctrinated trail angel has my best interest at heart and wants my hike to be a joyous experience and not a slog. So, I say let's go for it. You're listening to the Blissful Hiker Podcast. I'm Allison Young, the Blissful Hiker, sometime professional flutist, sometime voice artist, and full-time pedestrian. My goal in sharing stories of walking long-distance trails as a solo, female, middle-aged, titanium-reinforced hiker is to empower you to learn to hike your own hike, too. I sleep deeply and a bit late at Dan's Saddle. The sky is full of clouds and it's cold. I blow my nose and it's mostly full of dust. Yes, I slept in a road last night. It was convenient, but that's only because it's flat. I have enjoyed hiking with Hobbit to keep me going and to talk to. She knows a lot of things like what the biosphere is that we'll see today and how many different kinds of Cholla cactus there are. It helps when the trail gets hard, which is essentially all the Arizona Trail is. Hobbit's favorite saying is, if things get easy, you're not on the Arizona Trail. But she lingers in the morning, and I'm a get-up-and-goer, and I'm fairly certain I can't hike faster, including breaks, than 2 miles an hour. I also don't trust it's simply all downhill from here. I'd read the Oracle Ridge is hard. Hard and totally dry. Getting a late start with the sun already shining hot is not going to help us today. I carried 4 liters to camp, but I dump one simply because I can't drink it or carry it. I know it's a risk, but there is one tank along the way. The trail, of course, goes straight up to start. It's steep, it's fast, and it's endless, pulling us over a hill to look back directly at Mount Lemmon. We sidle for a while, but it's mostly up and down these dry, brown, oak-studded hills. The views are amazing out to more ranges, but it's exhausting work. We take breaks in magical little shaded groves of trees, and I'm always revived with water. But I have to say, this monotony is getting to me. Just when I need a break, we join a road, which has an even steeper incline and filled with fist-sized boulders. Each step is controlling a fall and breaking from a wipeout. There are some odd things along the way, like cowboy gates of pieces of wood held together with barbed wire and fit into metal loops. We pass an enormous mine with a zigzagging road to the top. The biosphere is huge, sitting on its flat-topped mountain above the desert. I've never walked over crumbling rocks this large or seen finger-like oak leaves so small and dainty. I have little to say on my day, other than it was a slog. Rough country that ate me alive. The joy and beauty of Mount Lemmon fades away as all I need is for this hike to end. Like a roller coaster, it goes up and down from heavy breathing to jolting knees. I start to wonder if I'll ever want to hike again. We finally reach a long patch of relatively flat, contouring the mountain. This area is recently burned and is unstable. I slip often and Hobbit goes down twice. We're both feeling wrung out. At the American Flag Ranch, Hobbit will have completed 600 miles, and I'll be nearly 200. We continue to chat as we suffer, laughing, discussing, dissecting. It makes a hard day easier. At a final water stop, a woman comes up from behind looking fresh. No hat, no sunglasses. I'm shocked. She stops at the Hijinks Ranch, and we slog 2 more miles to the road, and Hobbit's brother waiting with a car. I see it first, white with a blue boat, and just yell out. Pictures are taken, but there's no room in the car for me and the pack. Just then, a woman drives in, dropping her husband on trail. I ask for a ride, and Ellen is happy to take me in. Richard sent me my lighter sleeping bag, so we head right to the post office. I know I look awful. I feel awful. And I can't seem to find a place to stay tonight. First things first. I collect my package, then sprawl all my gear on the post office floor. In hiker lingo, that's called a garage sale. I have to pull out the heavier sleeping bag, plus a few odds and ends to send back home. The weight might total a liter of water. It's a good trade. As I go through this contortion, an older gentleman organizes his mail he's just picked up in his post office box. Looking curious and a bit bemused, I tell him what I've been up to and that I have no place to stay. You don't think I could rent a room for the night? Sure. Hector is from Rhodesia when it was still named Rhodesia and worked in the San Manuel Block Cave copper mine. He's a great-grandfather and ensures I get a hamburger, a few beers, my resupply, and a long hot bath. We talk a long time before I start to fade. I forgot to mention when I pulled gear out to send home and asked, should I keep the raincoat? He said, that's kind of optimistic. Hector gives me a little hectoring, saying he hopes I like the color brown. A desert bloom may very well not happen for this hiker. You're listening to the Blissful Hiker Podcast, a series of personal essays coupled with found sound and my own flute playing that explores my journey of self-discovery as a middle-aged woman, sharing the sometimes unglamorous but vital truth about empowerment as badass people who don't need permission to blaze our own trails in this journey we call life. Hector and I study the map and head for Kearney, about 3 to 4 days' walk. The road takes us near the San Pedro River, an important riparian region, even though the river runs mostly underground. We pass Hayden, a dying town next to an open-pit mine with billions of tons of tailings, like a multicolored mountain. The whole way he makes me laugh, pointing to a clump of yellow bristlebrush and saying, "That's lovely, but not exactly what I'd pay money to see," and that he's happy to see me walk all day if I like it, but he's not coming with me. I need to laugh at myself and the oftentimes tight grip I keep on my plans, my ideas of things, my ideas of myself. I should know when I'm out of whack because I don't take as many pictures. I don't sing and whistle. I just want to get there, wherever there is. We drive through Kearney, then turn off the highway and head toward the trail. Just before the river, I notice a hiker on the side of the road. Hector slams on his brakes and backs up, needing to slide to the side to avoid a car coming up behind him. It's a young bearded man in tights and shorts named Rip, or Larry. He tells us someone is coming to get him because he hurt his knee. He'll come back later in section hike, but it's all over for now. Mind you, he says all this with a smile, much to Hector's bemusement. Then Larry gives me a tiny charcoal filter to attach to my Sawyer squeeze to get rid of cow flavor in the water. It's such a sweet parting gesture and impresses Hector. We drive on and find the trail, a sandy bit of forest road under the highway. All together we say, "No way," and continue north to the next town of Superior. Just as Hector promised, the terrain changes almost immediately, with huge basalt mountains surrounding a high desert, including giant picket post and Apache Leap. Of course we stop for second breakfast and continue yammering away before it really is time to send me on my way. We hug goodbye, and I'm back on trail, one that's flowering. In the other sections, a strange kind of ivy was covering nearly everything close to the ground. It's dead and blonde, but almost as if a net fading out the beauty. There's no sign of it here, and wildflowers are everywhere. Pink fairy duster, purple fleabane, yellow desert marigold, and wiry lotus, orange Mexican poppy, and purple desert verbena. The ocotillo are greening with red flags, the palo verde tree in electric green, and the cactus at least looks bright and eager to show their flowers soon, I hope. I pass a woman on horseback covered head to toe from the sun. Another woman on foot tells me her name is Mama Turtle and she's section hiking, having just started a thru-hiker on this section. I remember how much I loved it when friends walked a bit of a section with me just to see me off. Soon I come to Queen Creek, running well still in a verdant patch of green grass. I sing to the cows and wake a backpacker taking a siesta under his umbrella. Dragon is his name, taking it in stride as I fill a liter bottle. From here, the trail heads into a canyon of deep red rock. Buzzards glide overhead, their shadows crossing mine. A big black butterfly flutters past. This trail is luxury. There are so few rocks, and it's nearly all level. It's just what I need to ease back in after such tiring days. Birds are noisy in bright green cottonwood. I can hear squeaks coming from the bushes. The saguaro are back in odd shapes, some hilarious, some pornographic. The bright green grass and soft red rock give way to an open area where I see a windmill spinning and hear cows complaining from an enclosure. Still, some are on the range and pause, chewing, to watch me pass. I follow a long contour to a new canyon, Revis, and find water again, the last before a huge climb. It's late, so I'll set camp as far up as the water goes. Two young hikers, Clothesline and John the Baptist, catch up to me, one asking if I'm blissful. Oh, right, I signed my name in the register at the trailhead. They're fast and head on to a trough for water while I move another couple tenths of a mile to a flowing stream and a grass patch for the tent. I'm all filled up for the hard climb tomorrow. I'm tucked into the quilt that Richard just sent, and an owl is hooting, the water singing me to sleep. You can subscribe to Blissful Hiker wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave a review on Apple to help the show get discovered. Blissful Hiker is on Patreon right now. You can support the show financially as a patron. Help me get on trail to collect sound and create these stories. Find a link to Patreon in the show notes or at blissfulhiker.com. Also at Blissful Hiker, you can find other episodes, read the blog, see pictures, and contact me, blissfulhiker.com. Next week, I take on the Superstition Mountains, and they're tough up and down. But I finally spy one very brilliant cactus bloom. Until then, my friends, kia kaha, and happy trails.